In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. We talk about ourselves being unworthy all the time in our church life. All the time. I don't know if there is a service where we don't call ourselves unworthy servants. But when we say that in our relationship with God, it isn't self-deprecation. It's a way of saying thank you to God, who has shared with us his life. So it's a way of being thankful. And this is a way that can help us to turn to him when we have failed. You know, there's a great play on words in this particular reading, because when the younger son says to the father, give to me the part of the property that befalls me, the word for property is ousia. And this is a great theological word in the Orthodox Church, because ousia means also the essence. And how dare we ask God to give us part of his ousia? We don't even know his ousia. He only shares and reveals to us a little bit. We say, homoousios, the one who's of one essence with the Father. And these things that God has given to us, like life and free will, those belong to God. They aren't ours. We heard also in the beautiful epistle that our body is not ours. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have been bought with a price. We are designed to be servants of God. And we fall short of that. In the beautiful prayers of Vespers, we say, make us worthy to love and fear you. So even loving God and even fearing God and having awe and reverence for God, it's not something that we can do without God. And he makes us worthy even to do that. We say over and over again also, make us worthy. Because even the good things that we do are out of thanksgiving for God's love and not a way of receiving some kind of recompense from God. We heard the beautiful in the EMM that I sent out this week, we read the beautiful words of Saint Cyril, who says, don't exact wages from the Lord. So, and he said that as a commentary for last week's gospel reading, where the Pharisee said all that he was doing right, and he made fun of this tax collector who was exacting wages from other people, and meanwhile he was exacting honor from God, as if his works were what made him worthy. It's God who makes us worthy. And we can respond by saying thank you with our thoughts, our prayers, our deeds. But the two sons in this gospel reading had both forgotten that it was their father who gave them these beautiful gifts. The first one who talks to his father, the younger son, exacted wages, as if you know, in the law, the father was not able to give this inheritance until he died. So this was really quite an insult, not only saying that he deserved what befell him in the usia, the property, but that he asked for it as if his father was dead. And so to say that his father was dead was the beginning of his spiritual death, his departure from life, his departure from the land of holiness. And the older son also thought of himself as worthy because of his obedience. And because of that, he took offense at the celebration and also refused to go into the banquet. See, both of them had an excuse. And when Jesus talks about banquets elsewhere, and he talks about how this banquet is something that he wants to invite everybody to participate in this banquet. And people make excuses. So the younger son had something better to do. So he took all of this livelihood and he goes elsewhere to do his own living. And like St. Mary of Egypt told us, in reality and not in parable, she had confessed that every abuse of nature that she committed, she regarded as life. And we hear this kind of thing usually when people say live a little or you only live once. It usually means you should do something that you aren't supposed to do. But God didn't say live a little. He said, I want you to live abundantly. And that's beautiful, that God, the fountain of life, wants us to be partakers of this gift that really only belongs to God. And the excuse, as I said before, that the older son made was to not participate in the banquet because this banquet is not big enough for the both of us. And if we are letting him in, who sinned, then I'm not going. And this is what happens when we do not forgive our brothers and sisters from our heart. We prevent ourselves from partaking of the divine love, the ineffable love of God. And look how beautiful also that the Father loved both of them, that he tried to reach both of them, that he allowed the younger son to go and use up all of his inheritance. And when he came back, it was not that the son was taking advantage of his father, because unlike some situations where coming home is not for returning or repenting, it's for refilling. And that's different. That's not a change. That's not a change in life. But as the younger son is returning, he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And this is where life begins, because now he begins to appreciate that even if he were not honored as a son, he would still have more life than staying away. And also we have to notice that shame is also a passion. It's the other side of the coin of pridefulness. Shame also keeps us from God. What happened when the son begins to be in want? Instead of returning home then, he joins himself to another citizen, and he becomes that person's servant and is miserable. We have to return home. It may have looked hypocritical. Oh, now that he can't live, now he wants to return home. Well, this is how we receive life from God. And his shame was keeping him away, joining the other the other citizen and not his father. Jesus says you cannot serve two masters, but he also lets us know very clearly that we're always going to have one. We're always going to have one, and it's up to us to decide who is that master going to be. And he was ready to return home and be a servant to his father. And before he finished that sentence, before he got to the part where he had rehearsed, treat me as one of your hired servants, his father says, he commands that the calf be killed, that the cloak be brought, that a ring be put on his hand, that shoes be put on his feet, that he be honored as a son, unworthy though he was. And the older brother, who is offended at this, the father goes and says something beautiful to him as well. He says, what's mine is yours. Because we remember, at the beginning, he had divided his inheritance to the older son as well. And he said, what's mine is yours. And then he says the beautiful, it was necessary that we make merry. This it was necessary is what he also said to Zacchaeus in the tree. It is necessary that I come to your house today. God thinks that things that is that necessary to say that we matter? I must come to your house today. I must celebrate the return. And of course, when God says we must, we really have to listen to God. It sounds very humble that God said, I must. Because love is voluntary. But when he commands, it's something that we should do. So how can we not make excuses to go to this banquet? We know that we cannot survive apart from God, and we know that we have to forgive one another and rejoice at everyone's steps to come forward. And this is a way that we can give thanks to God, who has come to be with us, who has come to be a servant with us. The Christ didn't count himself, as St. Paul beautifully says, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Even Christ himself didn't think that he was entitled to the same usia as God, not even a little part of it. And this son who returns home, who blew all his inheritance, how did the father still have more resources to celebrate? It's a sign that God's love is bigger than our worst sin, and that he keeps trying, as he says to the older son, what's mine is yours, to keep inviting us to be partakers of the divine banquet, to celebrate and feast. As the prophet Isaiah says, whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. Whoever does not have money, let him buy wine and milk. Why do you spend money on that which does not fill you? Come and eat well, and your soul will delight in fatness. What a beautiful life we have with God. And what a beautiful gate of repentance he opens to all of us. The hope that joy waits for us, that we have to really understand that we are unworthy, and that every little good thing that we do comes from God. And I think that that will help us to, when we put one leg out of our bed in the morning and the other one, each one will say, this is what God is doing. Put my body, which belongs to you, where you want it, Help it to think and do and say the things that you want. And may God make us transmitters of this love in the world and help us to live up to this wonderful calling of being his servants and also heirs of the kingdom of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and forever and unto ages of ages.